13 and verse 7. The Bible says, "Render, therefore, to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom," in case you're missing it, that's taxes, "fear to whom fear, and honor to whom honor." Let me read it one more time. "Render, therefore, all to their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, and honor to whom honor." I'm going to start with the story from James McClendon. I thought it'd get us in the right frame of mind as we think about honoring and serving, which is where we're going to get to today. When three-year-old Callie Porter decided she wanted a bouncy ball from the claw machine, she first tried the direct approach, attempting to grab it on her own. But when she couldn't fit inside the machine herself, she called for backup. That's how Olivia Tinky Porter, Callie's two-year-old cousin, ended up getting stuck in the claw machine at the Billy Bee's Fun Center in the Destiny USA Mall in Syracuse. Grandmother Jackie Perez said, "Seeing the balls inside the machine was like a trigger for them. It only took 1 second and they were gone. My grandkids are very adventurous." I like that phrase. When Callie came to report Olivia's predicament, Perez was almost impressed. "I thought she might be like halfway stuck, but when we got there, her whole body was in it. If someone put a quarter in the machine, they could have used the claw to pick her up." Eventually, first responders were dispatched, and within 10 minutes of arriving on the scene, the firefighters had pried open the door, retrieved Olivia, and deposited her into her grandmother's waiting arms. Perez said they worked so fast. Everyone was in great spirits. "I wasn't scared at all. When they got Tinky out, it was like the fireman won a prize." After spending almost 15 minutes inside the glass claw machine, Perez said that her granddaughter Olivia was still in good spirits. "She hasn't had any bad reactions. I actually think she enjoyed it." Less enthused was Callie. Upon Olivia's release from the claw machine, Callie had only one question for her cousin. "Where is the ball?" So I'm sure that first responders have all kinds of stories to tell, right? And so as we think about them today, we do want to honor them. It's such a special day today, and we haven't done this before, but Elise came up with the idea to give honor to some special leaders in our community. And just as we read in the book of Romans, we want to give honor and respect to whom honor and respect is due. And you guys, many of you know way more than I do even in detail, but we've all been impacted by the service of first responders, and they do so much for our community, and most of the time they are actually following principles that the Lord taught us about serving others. They may not even realize it, but so many of the things that Jesus taught us about service, these people are carrying out those things. I want you to look at a few things first this morning. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command: love your neighbor as yourself." So today we want to thank people that drive ambulances and work emergencies and help with fires and that they work to keep us safe. And we're so privileged to live in a community that has so many good workers taking care of us. Have you really thought about that before? You guys, you realize that there's some places in this world that don't have near the infrastructure that you have. They don't have near the support and near the help that you have. And we need to thank the Lord for that and remember those folks today. So today, one thing I want us to do especially is to remind each other to pray for all of these great people who are working to keep us safe and to take care of emergencies that happen every day. And just a reminder from the scriptures on that one, let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. And Paul says there, "I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth." Here's what I want you to see, maybe you don't think about too much. One of the best things for the gospel is that we have peace. Did you catch that? The end of that paragraph was about sharing the gospel. The first part was praying about our leaders. As our leaders are empowered to do the things that they need to do, and we have peace and order in our society, it provides a great opportunity for us to share the gospel. Those things go together. So we want to definitely remember them today. So I want you to think with me just for a minute. We're not too long here, but just for a second. Do you know any of these types of people? Just real quick, how many of you may have a friend that is a fireman, an EMT, a paramedic, or a policeman? Is there quite a few? Yeah, right? Today, I hope that you will be mindful that the Lord would remind you to pray for those people more often. My cousin Josh works in Decatur, and he's a policeman there in Decatur, Illinois, and it is not an easy job. As a matter of fact, it's been a really difficult job there. And this is a reminder to me that I need to make sure I'm lifting him up and those that are serving like he serves in prayer. As we think about honoring those who serve us, I thought today would be a really good reminder for us to be about serving too. The Lord Jesus himself, we're going to see in just a second, he will honor those who serve. Listen carefully. He will remove those who do not serve. This fall, we looked at a passage in the scriptures about the wrath of God. And we were looking at the truth about the wrath of God. And one of the passages we just briefly looked at was Matthew 25. And I wanted to revisit that this morning. It's a very familiar passage, but it has really meant a lot to me throughout my days. And it's a reminder that our faith should display itself in action. And so it is easy to get in the habit of listening to radio and doing a Bible study and coming to your organized activities. But the bottom line is that God would have us to display our faith by serving other people. And I hope you'll see today there's so many different ways to serve. So if you'll listen with an open mind and a prayerful spirit, I want you to ask the Lord how he would have you serve. And I want you to ask yourself this question. We're going to rehearse this over and over again. Where will you see Jesus this week? Some of you are like, see Jesus? What are you talking about, preacher? I want you to look at the scripture, and then I want you to be thinking, and then you're going to have an opportunity to be not only the Lord's hands and feet, but to actually serve him by serving those that he cares about. So we're going to jump into Matthew chapter 25. If you want to turn your Bibles there, you're welcome to. And we're going to start in verse 31. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 31. And the way this is phrased out is the sheep and the goats, or the right and the left. And so I think you know who is who a little bit, but we're going to work our way through this passage here and looking at how Jesus will remind us to serve. Matthew chapter 25, verse 31, the word of God says, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne, and all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left." So you guys today are in a really good spot. You guys are not such a good spot today. So, no. Maybe it's stage right and left, right? I'm not sure. I want you to think about these things with me a little bit. This is a very clear picture. A lot of times people want to be so welcoming, they will avoid the truth that Jesus lays out. And he is actually separating people into two different groups. That's not penology. That's the word of God, right? He's separating people into the sheep and the goats. One of the things I want you to see about this truth is we have a clear picture here of the second coming of the Lord, and it's so different than the first time. How did he come the first time? A stable, right? A manger. Shepherds making their way in. A little baby. Not a prince, not a king. A carpenter's son is how he shows up on the planet. How does he come the second time? Look out, people. Right? When the Lord comes the next time, he comes as the King of all the earth. Okay? The King of all the earth. The scripture here says he will sit on a glorious throne, and all nations will humble themselves before him. Sometimes I think we forget that the Lord who came and the Lord who is coming, his second coming will be so different. And so at the second coming, Matthew describes that the Lord will differentiate between those who will be redeemed and those who will be accursed. Again, not my words, but the Lord's. And here Matthew calls them the sheep and the goats. I want to be really clear this morning. This is really important. So pay attention for just this little bit, then you can go back to sleep, okay? We are not saved by the good works we do. We're about to talk about a whole bunch of good works that we should be doing. But those good works should flow out of our faith for Jesus. And even as we saw in our Sunday school lesson this morning, they are a response to the love that he has bestowed upon us. So if you walk out of this place today and you're like, well, the preacher told me to feed the hungry and to give people that were thirsty something to drink. Well, yeah, he did. But the point was so that you could get some sort of recognition for doing a lot of good deeds. The point was, in gratitude, I'm responding to the Lord who died for me, and I want to honor him by loving those that he loves. All right, so let's make sure we're all on that same page. I don't want to mislead you in that moment. All right, first question here in this section, which group would you be in? Are you a person of faith seeking to serve others and to display your faith, or are you someone simply seeking to serve yourself? Do you ever find you're just wanting to serve yourself? Come on, people. Anybody else here good at having a pity party? I think I could get my doctorate degree in pity parties. I'm good. Especially when I'm a little sick. Ask Mrs. Penn. Stop moaning. Would you quit it? You're not that bad. Get over it. Come on. Oh, boy. I'm just like, oh, I don't feel good. Oh, I'm going to lay down. Oh, I'm so tired. Oh, I'm good for you guys. I don't say that so much here. But at home, it can get pretty rough, right? And I, like some of you, maybe not all of you, have a tendency to want to serve myself. And what you're going to see today, one of the really differentiating factors here is people who are serving others versus people who are too busy to serve others. Let's look at the commendation first for the righteous. The commendation for the righteous. Look down at verse 34. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you are blessed by my Father. Take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Verse 37, the righteous will answer him, Lord, well, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? Look at verse 40. The king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these my brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. Is it sinking in now? I can kind of tell it is, isn't it, right? Whoa. Jesus here is declared king, and he's the one who will pronounce judgment however he chooses, but he is just, and he judges justly. He calls the sheep blessed, and he invites them to come and do what? To take their what? Their inheritance. Isaiah isn't going to have much in his inheritance, poor kid. All right? Some of you maybe do better for your kids and grandkids. I don't know. But I want you to think about this for a second. Who is the wealthiest figure in all the universe? The Father, right? God. And Jesus invites these to come and take their inheritance that's been being worked on since the foundation of the world. I've been working on Isaiah's inheritance for 54 years. God has been working on yours since the day he made the planet. Come and take your inheritance. Does that sound good? All right, eternal life is that inheritance for those who will respond and in faith will honor and obey the Lord. I want, again, be very clear here. It's not just that they did good things and they helped people, but it was their faith that compelled them to act. Just like unbelief can compel us to the improper action, belief compels us to the proper action. Our actions are driven by our beliefs, and that's why belief is so important. So today, where are you placing your trust? That will determine if you are on the right hand or the left. These people didn't realize that they were finding Jesus, but they were. Where did they find him? Can we look at a few things here? Where did they find him? They found him in the hungry. What did they do? They acted. Did you catch that? They saw the hungry and they acted. They didn't make excuses. They didn't say, it's not my problem. They saw the hungry, they acted. They saw the thirsty, what did they do? They gave drink. They saw the strangers. This is crazy to me, especially in our day and time. What did they do with the strangers? They invited them in. They saw, King James says, the naked or those without clothes, and they gave them clothes. They saw the sick, and they looked after them. They saw those in prison, and they visited them. Where will you and I find Jesus? In the same places. Are you hearing the Lord today? You're probably not going to find them on your couch watching Netflix. You're probably not going to find them on your phone when you're doom scrolling. You're going to find him when you get out and you engage and you get where people are, and especially while people are hurting, you're going to see the Lord. Have you been looking for him? Now let's go back through these categories for a second, and I want you to see and think with me a little bit about these things. So we're going to go back to hungry. How can you help those who need food? Kind of interesting. We talk about that here at our church, right? We do not promote this. We don't put this stuff on Facebook. But our church, for whatever reason, Lord has put a passion in us that we would try to help feed some, just a few, homeless people. And what I'm telling you is when you're helping to deliver food, when you're helping to organize food, or you're helping to hand out food, you are trying to see Jesus and feed him. When you think about it that way, it kind of changes things a little bit, doesn't it, right? If Jesus was downtown by the library today and he hadn't eaten for a couple days and the storm was coming through and he didn't have any shelter, what would you guys be doing? Everybody probably in this room would get up, they'd get in their vehicle, they'd go to the store, get all their stuff, or they'd just go pick him up, wouldn't they? They'd say, get in the car with me. You're not riding this storm, Jesus. You're going to sit with me and we're going to make sure that you're okay. You're my king. You died for me. Whatever I can do, I want to do. But what do we do sometimes? It's hard, isn't it, right? We have that as an option here at our church. Servant's Heart, Megan really got us tied into Servant's Heart a few years back. They're doing the very same thing. They're helping get food to people who need something to eat. Well, how about the thirsty? Now, there's probably, we don't think of a lot of people being thirsty around here, do we? Do you know there are people all over the world who need clean drinking water? This is why I love my friend Sindhu. He is awesome. We have a program at Frugal Baptist called the Hannah Project, and Hannah Project has a specific program for building bore wells. What's a bore well? I never even heard that term, bore well. Sindhu's like, we need some more bore wells. I'm like, what are you talking about? When I went over to India, I got to see that Hannah Project would go and they would drill wells for water right beside the church. That's sneaky, isn't it, right? What was happening is that in some of the communities, some of the Christian believers were actually being pushed away from the drinking well, and some of the communities had no drinking well at all. So Hannah Project would go in, they would build a well, and guess what? People would come to the well, and then there would be an opportunity for the church to tell about living water. That's pretty cool, isn't it, right? You guys, there are people, even in our community, who still need something to drink sometimes. But there are whole communities that we can help encourage that are thirsty, that need drinking water. What about strangers? Who is different than you, or who in your community could use a friend? Do we have anybody here that was ever the outcast? The last one picked? A little different than the people that were around you? You know what I'm talking about, right? It's no fun, is it, right? We need people who will welcome in people that are a little bit different. There's somebody in our church, probably doesn't even realize it. I'm about to talk about him. He's probably not even paying attention, but he's going to wake up real quick. Who actually will encourage people that are just a little bit different or that need a friend, and his name is Logan. It's pretty awesome whenever somebody comes in on a Wednesday night, maybe never been here, and how many times I've seen Logan go check in with that person. Logan doesn't even know it, but he's helping Jesus when he does that. How about you today? When's the last time you had a stranger that you went and had dinner with? Somebody that was different than you, that looked different than you, that talked different than you, that had a different economic status than you, that maybe spoke a different language than you. When's the last time you sat down with someone like that and invited them into your life? Jesus says, they saw me in the stranger and they invited me in. About clothes, by the way, just quick aside, we have a whole bunch of clothes here at church if anybody needs them. There's a whole room full. We're going to try to take care of that here pretty soon. But we have opportunity through homeless ministry. Servant's Heart also does a great job here. But who do you know that might need a coat or gloves or just some clean socks or a new pair of shoes, right? We even saw that in recent weeks here where the Lord has used those things to help people like that. And then the next one is the sick. Do any of you have a really hard time visiting nursing homes? Raise your hand. Just be honest. Anybody? Thank you, right? It's tough, isn't it, right? I remember when I first went to seminary in Memphis. This is going to show my age, right? This is back in the 1900s. And we moved to Memphis, and Nan and Gramps, David's church, North Memphis Church, they would go and do nursing home ministry. And we went into a state-run nursing home facility, and it was one of the nastiest places I've ever been in. Bugs walking over the place, the stench in the air, people not being cared for, people being left alone. But those people needed someone to love them. You guys, if you remember our series where we talked about the dignity and sanctity of every human life, we learned that over 80% of nursing home people never get one visitor in a year. 80%. That's crazy, isn't it, right? Jesus says, I was sick, and what did you do? You visited me. Now, I'm not saying you all got to go to a nursing home. The Lord may have you go into a hospital. He may have you visit a shut-in. You guys, we have some shut-ins in our own church family that they need someone to visit them. And that visit could be a phone call, it could be a text, but it could be actually knocking on their door, and they're so lonely, and they won't tell it to you because they're proud and they're strong, and they don't want you to think that they're hurting, but what they could really use is someone to step in their life and say, I love you, I care about you, I miss you, how are you doing? The sick. Today, who is the Lord putting to your mind as we work through these things? And then the last one, in prison. I have to say that some of the best audiences that I've ever spoke to in my whole life were in jail or in prison. But I also have to say that I've probably felt love and compassion in ways that I never expected when I visited prison. I know for a lot of us it may seem scary, but if the Lord is leading, follow him there. You will be glad that you did. Right, Teresa? Oh, man. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. How many of you have been in prison? We may not want to know all that detail, right? But have you ever visited someone in prison, right? I remember the first time I was in Illinois. I'd been to prison ministry and jail ministry, but I actually had someone who was from our church that had to go to prison, and that was one of the scariest things for me, was actually navigating my way to visit them. And then when we were done, I was like, Lord, this is so ridiculous. Why didn't I not do this sooner, right? The Lord is calling us to live out our faith by serving the people that he's put into our life. What was the righteous reply when they heard all these things again? They said, Lord, when did we help you? Verse 40, the king will reply, and he says, truly, I tell you, whatever you did for the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. So today, let us have a true servant's heart and follow him wherever he's leading. Unfortunately, there is another group that Jesus will speak to, right? And when I talked about this in the fall, we didn't really dive into this group, but we're going to look at it just briefly today. We saw a commendation for the righteous, but what do we see here in verse 41? We're going to see a condemnation for the wicked. Again, not my words, all right? Let the Lord speak to your heart today. Look in verse 41 with me. The Bible says, Matthew says, And he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you who are what? Cursed, yet not my words, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Verse 42, for I was hungry and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison and you did not look after me. Look at verse 44. They also will answer, well, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you? And he will reply, truly, I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. You hear the excuses? Again, I'm good at making excuses. I don't know if you guys are, but I really am. Here's some excuses that I have probably made, or maybe people like me have made. Well, I just don't really have that many needy people around me. You ever thought or said that? I live in Hamilton County, the wealthiest county in all the Midwest. I mean, there's so much money in that place, Carmel, Noblesville, Westfield, all the, it's just loaded. There's nobody really hurting there. They got all they need. There's just not really a need there, Lord. You know, if I lived somewhere else where, you know, people were poor and hurting, then maybe I would do those things. But everywhere I'm at, everybody's good. Ever make excuses like that? There aren't any homeless people in my community. We've kind of said that here. Well, right around here, there's just nobody homeless. We know better, don't we, right? Right? We know better. There are people living right around us. Some are living in their cars. Some are living from place to place and trying to get from by to by. And then we have some people that are actually living under bridges in cardboard boxes. Some that will try to outlast this storm that's coming tonight by hiding in a shelter somewhere, hoping a propane tank will work to give them enough heat for the night. And we say, well, I just don't see anybody. If I saw somebody, anybody else? Am I the only one who made that excuse? Maybe you've made this one. Well, I just don't do well in nursing homes. Right? That stench, those bugs, that whatever, that's just not for me. How about this one? Oh, boy. The people in jail deserve to be there, and why would I want to help them? Ever felt that way? Come on, be honest. You don't have to raise your hand. I'm saying be honest with yourself, right? Well, that was their bad decision. Why would we want to do nice things? They need to feel the pain. Is that what Jesus said? Go make them feel the pain? It's not exactly what he said, was it, right? You tracking with me? Here's maybe a last excuse. Again, you're going to recognize preacher being transparent here a little bit. Well, if you don't have clothes and you don't have food, that's probably just because you're lazy and you don't want to work. If you'd get a job, you wouldn't have these problems. Man, you guys are looking at me like you never thought this ever. I must be the worst person in the room. Maybe I am. Do you know what I'm saying? You get frustrated. You're like, what? I work 40, 50, 60 hours a week. I work two jobs. And you're just asking for a handout. No, I'm not helping you. You felt that way before? What did the Lord say? Do you see me? See me a stranger? See me without clothes? See me without food? Invite me in. Feed me. Give me something to drink. Those words get a little hard in some context, don't they, right? Wow. Here's the main excuse the goats used in this story, and the excuse that I think we still use today. And they said, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick in prison and did not help you? And he will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. What did they say? We didn't see you. Man, I've said this way too many times in my life. Well, I didn't see you, Lord. We didn't see you. If we had seen you, we definitely would have helped. Are you tracking with that? We didn't see you. You ever use that excuse? Well, I don't see any problems around me. That's because a lot of times we're not even looking. Okay, I'm going to get right where you are today because I can tell we need to have this conversation. How many of you have ever been in your car or a motorcycle or vehicle, you pull up to a intersection and there's someone there who is homeless? Don't raise your hand. How many of you have ever been driving up to that intersection and the person is there with a sign and they may be even trying to get your attention, and what are you doing? If they're over here, you're looking over here the whole time, right? You're doing everything you can to ignore that problem, and part of that, what's in you, is saying, I didn't see you. I didn't see it. I didn't really understand it. I didn't want the confrontation. I didn't want the conversation. I didn't want to have to tell them no. And so instead, I just tried to ignore and go and move on. Man, I'm going to let the Lord convict you and me about that one. We need to figure out what the Lord is calling us to. Can you help every homeless person in the world? No, and your preacher is not saying that. But what we need to do is engage the people that the Lord has put in our path and in our life that we can love and serve them because he loves those people. Oh, these are hard words, aren't they? And yet that's what Jesus calls us to do. Oh, how we don't want to see. We want to see our desires fulfilled, but we often just want to ignore any pain and any suffering around us. The Lord calls you and me to open our eyes. And then he lays out the clearest judgment. Look in verse 46. What's it say? Again, verse 46, not my words. Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. Commendation for the righteous, condemnation for the wicked. Not my words, what the Lord said. I cannot, please hear me, I cannot and I do not want to imagine a place empty of the grace and the love of God. And to me, that truly is death. I don't want any part of that. And I don't want anybody else to have a part of that. And that's why I want them to know Jesus. Okay, so today we arrive at a very simple conclusion. So simple today. I just want to ask you really quickly, will you be on the Lord's right hand or his left? We know it's his decision, right? And yet what we also know the scriptures are very clear about is if I have put my faith in the Lord, I'm one of his. And I'm going to respond to that in love and service, and I will be one of the people on his right. But if I ignore the gift of God and his son, Jesus Christ, and I choose to serve myself instead of putting my trust in him, this is not me. Again, the Bible's very clear. You're on the left, you are one of the goats, and Jesus says your destination is a place where the grace and love of God is not. And so we want to be on the right with the Lord. Today it all starts with a step of faith, with really humbling ourselves before the Lord and asking him to give us a heart like his. And if you will today, to me, this is what my prayer is. Lord, open my eyes that I can see what you see. Even as we honor our first responders today, let us all become first responders by helping to meet the needs of those who are hurting around us. If I were to have a simple prayer, it would be this today. Lord, forgive us for when we fail to see you in the people that we meet. Please open our eyes to every opportunity you have for us this week. Can you pray that prayer with me this morning? Lord, open my eyes that I will see you and the people I'm with this week. It may be a coworker. It may be your neighbor. Maybe the postman. Maybe the trash guy. Maybe the lady or the man at Kroger's. It may be your spouse. Who are you serving this week, right? Last thing this morning, just again one more time to help me and help you as we process and finish out today. Hungry, thirsty, strangers, those needing clothes, those stuck in their homes that are sick or in nursing homes or in a hospital, those in prison, where will you meet the Lord this week? I'm going to tell you today, you're going to meet him. I promise you. You're going to run into somebody this week that you need to be the hands and feet of the Lord to them. Be. And as you think about what Jesus did for you, the King who is coming, the King who gave his life for you, respond in love and kindness and service to him wherever you see him. Amen. Let's stand this morning. Thank you guys so much for your attention today. We're going to ask our musicians to come. And again, these are just steps up here. We know that, but we call this an altar. And sometimes it really helps us if we will come and lay our burden down at this altar. And maybe today you've been thinking of someone who is homeless or sick or in prison or who is really struggling financially or maybe who's a stranger, who's an outcast, and the Lord is just putting them on your mind and your heart and you want to come pray for them today. We invite you to come. Maybe today you're again reminding, well, I've been good to people, but as I really think about it, I'm not sure I ever put my faith or my trust in Jesus. And the Lord is calling you today to respond, to repent of your sin, and to ask the Lord in your heart. We would love for you to do that today as well. We're going to have just a moment of quiet and then a brief prayer. Then we're going to sing together. But as Susan is playing this whole time, if you guys need to come, please feel free to come and to pray.